I want us to turn today to John, the 8th chapter. That's where we're going to be going. We're going to be talking about living Christianity in 3D. 3D Christianity. We're going to look at some stuff. We're going to look at a story. Then we're going to go back and talk about a concept. And then we're going to bring it to focus. One of the things that we really, really need in our American churches is authentic, real relationship with God. Not superficial. You know, there's a lot of nominal Christianity in America. In fact, you ask most people and they say, well, I'm a Christian. But nominal means in name only. And this is not what we're talking about today. We're talking about real, genuine, 3D Christianity. The real stuff. The stuff that makes a difference. You know, Christianity can get so bland and so unpowerful that it has little effect. But when we understand that the Christian message is the power of God, that the gospel is the power of God, that it can change the individual life, it can change a church, it can change a community, it can change a state, it can change a world. And this is, you know, this is what we're supposed to be about, is authentic Christianity. Okay, John 8:3, I've got to hurry. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. Everybody say adultery. Yuck. I mean, you know, adultery is not a good thing. It's a bad thing. It breaks up marriages, destroys children, hurts cultures. We've seen what adultery has done in our lives, around us. We've all been affected by adultery and different things. And when they had set her in the midst, this is the scribes and the Pharisees, they set her in the midst, they said to him, now notice very carefully what's transpiring here. They're trying to test Jesus, but they're also about what they're about. This is what we're about. This is the essence of what our religion is about. Okay. They set her in the midst and they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery. Not only that, in the very act. Okay? In the very act. Now Moses' law, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. You know, and that's what the law says. Kill them. Okay? But what do you say? Now they were testing him. This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. How many of you know Jesus was smart? He was sharp. Jesus was one sharp cookie. He knew, they didn't slip up on him. He was full of the Spirit of God. He walked in the wisdom of God. And he saw right through their stuff. Now let me ask you a question. Did the scribes and Pharisees care anything about this woman? Not one iota. What did they care about? They cared about their law. Right and wrong. Right and wrong. This is right. This is wrong. Kill her. The Bible says kill her. What do you say? Did Jesus care about this woman? Absolutely. Was Jesus a keeper of the law? Ooh. Hard situation to be in then, isn't it? Staying true to what the law says, and staying true to what the law is all about. The essence and the heart of what the law was really all about. So how's he going to handle this? And this is so cool. This is so cool what Jesus does. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his fingers as though he did not hear them. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them. Now can you imagine? Jesus just kind of stoops down and he starts writing. Wonder what he was writing. I wonder what he was writing in the sand. A lot of Bible scholars think that he was writing about the accuser's sins. And he was writing real specifically some of the things that they had done. Think about it. Hey, Jesus is sharp here, okay? And he said to them, "Who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, stealing, larceny, lying, lust. I mean, drunkenness, hard-heartedness. I just bet he just wrote all kinds of, he just read their mail and wrote in the ground. Okay? Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience. The Holy Spirit was at work here. You know what the Holy Spirit was doing? He was laying some conviction on some folks. They were looking in the mirror and they were not seeing this woman taking an adultery in their mind's eye. All of a sudden, they saw themselves. Jesus turned it around. Praise God. So Jesus turned it around. Everyone being convicted by their own conscience, they went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those who accuse you? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." Jesus said to her, now he said to her two things, "Neither do I condemn you." He said, "I don't condemn you." And then the next thing he said was the balance of what else he had said. "Now go and sin no more." See, Jesus was more about the person. The scribes and Pharisees was more about what's right and what's wrong. Now, I want us to go back in our thinking all the way to the Garden of Eden. And I want us to look at something. Remember Adam and Eve before they fell? They're in the garden. They're looking around and they're seeing this garden full of stuff. And God says, "You know what? I've made everything in this garden for you. There's all kinds of trees. You can eat from the trees." He said, "I've set the tree of life over here. But over here, I've set the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." He said, "I don't want you to eat of it, lest you die." Guess what? They did. Now let's think about that for just a moment. First of all, there was the tree of life. Then there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Did Adam and Eve really understand good and evil? The concept of this is right, this is wrong, this is right, this is wrong. They didn't think in that mindset at all. What they thought in is the way that they were created to be. They were in a relationship with God where they loved God. And they communed with God in the cool of the garden. God would come to them in the cool of the garden, and they would meet together with Him, and they had a connection with God. And they fellowshiped with God face to face in a living, loving relationship. And it was pretty awesome. And guess what? They were not worrying about, okay, if I do this, is this right? If I do this, is this wrong? Right, wrong, right, wrong. They were thinking, hey, I'm loving God. And they did, by nature, the right and the wrong. There's certain things they didn't do because they loved God. There's certain things that they did do because they were in a relationship with God. But all of a sudden, because of the choice of the trees, they have a relationship severed with God, and they fall to a level where everything now is not about relationship with God, loving God, being in a reality with God. All of a sudden, it's about good and evil, right and wrong, good and evil, right and wrong. And this has kind of morphed through the systems of even the religions of the world, if you think about it, and especially in Judaism, which was the covenant, and God gave the law. God gave the law. But you know what? No one has ever been justified by the law, by what's right and what's wrong. We're justified by what? Faith. Abraham was justified by what? By faith. He was not justified by the law. But they had been deceived into thinking that knowing right and wrong and enforcing right and wrong was going to be the way to relate with God. And if you look at what was happening in this story, it was all about, okay, this woman did something that was wrong. Now, what, is adultery wrong? Yes, it's wrong. Now, why is adultery wrong? Because it betrays a relationship. It damages emotions. It hurts. If children are involved, it damages children. It tears up not just the marriage, it tears up the extended family also. There's nothing good that you can say about adultery, okay? But, right and wrong, right and wrong, right and wrong. As opposed to having a living relationship with a loving God. So the Jewish religion was all about right and wrong, dotting the I's and crossing the T's. And this is how we judge everything in their lives. That's how they did everything. You know what? We do that in Christianity a whole lot. We're all about opinions, what's right, what's wrong, da 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 da, and we take up causes based on what's right and what's wrong, and we champion this because this is right and that's wrong, and this is right and that's wrong. And if we're not careful, we get into the same mindset that the scribes and the Pharisees did when they were under the law. You know what? We're not under the law. Because we're supposed to have a real relationship with God. What did Jesus come to do? Jesus came to restore us to a proper and right relationship with God through Jesus, through His death, burial, and resurrection. That's what He came to do. That we might have a living, loving relationship with Him. Now go with me to the 12th chapter of the book of Mark. Here comes the scribes again. They've been arguing with Jesus. They like to argue the points of the law. They talked about divorce, and they were talking about all kinds of different things. Then one of the scribes, in verse 28, came and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandment is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind.'" There's your three dimensions right there. Christianity in 3D. "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So the scribes said to him, "Well said, teacher, you've spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." So when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him. Now notice Jesus. Jesus was impressed with this guy. And he said something to him that just jumps out in my thinking. "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Wow. He said, "You know, sir, you're not far from the kingdom of God." Could he receive the kingdom of God at that time? No, Jesus hadn't died yet. But he said to him, said, "Brother, you're understanding what the kingdom is all about." The scribes and the Pharisees, they were all about the law. This is right. This is wrong. You can't do this. You can't. Don't. What has a lot of churches been about in America today? Don't. We're again this, we're again that, we're again. No. Yeah, got to do this. You're going to hell. Yada, yada, yada. I mean, the whole religious scene. And what has transpired in that people get into that mindset and they get real self-righteous. They get real holy. Okay? They call it holy, but it's not really holy because they base holy on what they don't do. Now, they got a tongue long enough that they can sit in the living room and lick a spoon in the kitchen. But they're holy, okay? Because of what they don't do. They don't dip, they don't chew, they don't hang around with those that do. And I'm holy. I don't do this, I don't wear that, I don't cut my hair, I don't. See, it's all tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we miss the whole essence of what God is really after. He is after a 3D relationship. Okay, on the other side of that, we have people who, especially in America, and they'll say this, you know what? I love God. And real cavalier, I love God. Oh, you do? Yeah, I love God. But it's only one dimensional because it's casual. It's mental. It hadn't touched the heart yet. It's not of the heart, the mind, the strength. See, what is God after in the relationship? Is it all about the knowledge of good and evil? I got to do this. And maybe if I do this, God will love me. Maybe if I do this, God will accept me. That's not the relationship God is after. You know what God wants? He wants your heart. He wants your mind. He wants your body. He wants your life. He wants you. That's what He's after. He's after you. And that's the only thing that works. He wants to give you life. This is a life-giving church. This is what we want to be all about. You know, I'm not interested in opinions. Well, should we do this? Should we do that? There's a lot of things that don't matter. But the one thing that does matter more than anything else is, do I have a living relationship with God? And if I can get that right, some of this other stuff will start taking care of itself. I don't want our life groups or any other thing that we do in ministry to be about this is right and this is wrong and this is right and this is wrong, about the knowledge of good and evil. I want it to be about developing a living, loving relationship with God. And I do know this, that if we're really walking with God, all of this other stuff starts falling in line. It's not my job to clean you up. It's my job to give you the gospel that's the power of God, the truth. And it's God who will do the work in you to get the stuff out of you that's killing you. To get the attitudes out of you that kill you, that hurt you, that destroy relationships. It's all of this other stuff is just minutiae. What we need is God Himself. We need God in reality in our lives. And it says this thing. Jesus said, if you'll do this, you're not far from the kingdom. Well, you'll be in the kingdom if you do this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. There's only one way that can happen, because that's your spirit. See, when Adam fell, his spirit was separated from God. He became a sinner. He was separated from God. When we invite Jesus Christ into our lives, He changes our heart. We are able from that point, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we're able to love God. But it doesn't start with just having a relationship with Him. There is something that He wants to come out of that. He wants you to love Him with your mind, your will, your emotions. And He wants you to love Him with your strength. This is the greatest commandment. If we will get caught up in doing this, everything that we are and everything that we do has to be about loving God. Why am I standing up here and preaching today? Is it so that you can look at Him and say, "Woo, dude, He's getting it on today. Isn't He good? Isn't He good or isn't He bad?" You know,
It's not about that. It needs to be because I love God and I love you. And we need to do everything that we do out of love for God. God wants the whole enchilada. Okay? The whole enchilada. He wants the whole enchilada. That's you. He don't want part of you. He don't want you 50% of the time. He wants a relationship with you. You know what? When you get married, you don't want a part-time spouse. You want a full-time spouse. You want a full commitment. You want it spirit, soul, and body, don't you? You want the whole deal. Okay? And that's the way God wants a relationship with us. And when we enter into this, we don't earn it. It's not about right and wrong. Because listen, guys, we've all goofed up. We're still goofed up in a lot of ways. There's none of us that are perfect. It's not about being perfect. It's not about keeping laws and all of that. It's about loving God and allowing life to happen out of that. You know what? If I really love God, I'm not going to hurt you. If you look at the Ten Commandments, several of them are about the way you love God, and the rest of them are about the way that you love people. If I love you, I won't lie to you. If I love God, I won't lie to you. If I love God, I won't steal from you. If I love God, I won't commit adultery. Yeah, I thought if you love your wife. No. You got to love God first. If you love God, you're not going to commit adultery. Then you love your wife. You won't commit adultery. You got a twofold thing there. Okay? But it all comes out of the love of God. The love of God. The love of the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. That is the essence of what the kingdom of God is all about. You know, and it's real easy for us as Christians. You know, if you're here today, we'll give you a chance in just a minute to make Jesus Lord. But I want to talk to Christians a minute. It's very easy for us to get opinionated about stuff. It's real easy for us to get caught up in the mindset of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and talk about the rights and the wrongs. Now, I do know that we have to discuss some of those things, but let's never get to the attitude that we're all about the right and the wrong where we hate the person that we're trying to deal with. We can get so caught up in the right and the wrong that we hurt people that are reaching out to God. Because when people come to God, they come goofed up. People come into this church high, on drugs. People have been here before drunk. Now, what does the Bible say about that? What do you think we ought to do about that? I think we ought to try to point them towards God's love and His forgiveness and try to help them so that they can overcome that. Usually if they're here, they're looking for something that's real. Let's not be instruments of just right and wrong where we cause people to slam the door on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's be the loving Father Church that we're supposed to be. Amen. Let's pray. We got to quit. I don't ever want to quit, but we got to quit. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank You today that You've given us such a picture of Your love and Your grace. That You've given us